Hello, everybody. I'm Jeremiah, and this is Leap of Faith Podcast. I am so glad you could join us today. I'll kind of give you an update. Today, we're actually going to read chapters 1 and 2 of Ruth. We did not upload it properly. We had a little bit of an upload issue where we thought we were uploading the readings of Ruth, and then it was actually something from Judges. So there was just a little bit of an error there. So we'll make that up. So if you're reading, if you're going in order, we're going to backtrack. I removed those podcasts because we didn't want to confuse anybody. And so I'm not putting an episode number on these just because we're going to read through the chapters together. So the plan is we're going to pray. No verse of the day today. I'm just going to get straight into reading chapter 1, talking about it, and then reading chapter 2 and talking about that so that we knock that out. And I'm so glad you joined us, and let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and what an awesome time that we live in, Lord, that we can, one, come straight to you, straight into the throne room, Lord, and not have to have an intercessory pray for us, a middleman, Lord, but because of the righteousness that you've granted us based on your son dying for our sins, we can come to you and come before your throne. And what an amazing thing that is. I am so blessed to be able to read your word into the world, Lord. What an amazing gift. And I don't take this lightly. And I pray for our listeners that get to watch this, get to listen to this, Lord, that they're growing in their relationship with you, that they're learning about you, just as I'm learning something new every time, Lord. And it's so awesome that we can read the Bible over and over and over, and it's going to point something out different. You know, where we are in our walk, it's going to present new challenges or new ways to change and to grow. And what a living book that we can go back and make constant changes on ourselves based on reading the same things over and over. Just simply amazing, Lord. I'm so thankful for this day. I'm so thankful for your son, Jesus. You died on the cross for our sins. What an amazing thing to take that beating, to take that suffering, to die on the cross the way that you did, and to do it because I mess up, because I'm not righteous. I don't do good, Lord. And we understand it's not about doing good or doing bad. It's about faith. And so thank you for these opportunities and the opportunity to have faith in Jesus Christ and in you, Lord. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let's get to it. Actually, I'm going to turn on a light there so it looks a little bit brighter in here. I know it's kind of almost evening time for me. All right, let's get into it. We're going to start with Ruth chapter 1. And I am going to share my screen so that we all can read it together. It's Ruth chapter 1. Elimelech. We're going to say that, moves his family to Moab. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrates from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. Then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah. I want to say Oprah. And the other woman named Ruth. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. This left Naomi alone with her two sons and her husband. So all the men die. Naomi and Ruth return. Then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law get ready to leave Moab and return to their homeland, to her homeland. With her two daughters-in-law, she set out from the place where she had been living, and they took to the road that would lead them back to Judah. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage." Then kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. "No," they said, "we want to go with you to your people." But Naomi replied, "Why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' homes, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible, and I were to get married tonight and bear you sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me." And again they wept together. And though Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. "Look, Naomi," said to her, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people, to her gods. You should do the same." But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and then I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. So the two of them continued on their journey, and when they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was excited by their arrival. "Is it really Naomi?" the women asked. "Don't call me Naomi," she responded. "Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer, and the Almighty has sent such great tragedy upon me?" So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Ruth, the young Moabite woman. They arrived in Bethlehem in late spring and at the beginning of the barley harvest. So that's chapter one. Some good things to see here. So we do see why Naomi feels this way. Her husband and two sons that she bore died in this other land. So they came over here to try to make a way for themselves, and they're taken away from Naomi. So she feels like God has judged her and removed these men from her life. And so she makes a decision, hey, let's go back. And she tells her two daughters-in-law, essentially, to go back to your mothers here in chapter 8. Go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. Essentially releasing them of any responsibility that they felt that they had towards the family. And so the one daughter-in-law says, okay, I'll go home. But they all cry and weep. And it's tough. It doesn't say how long they were married or how long they were part of the family, but it's tough to leave others behind. In my own experience, even, I'll share this. My mom and dad got divorced when I was 12-ish. And one of the things that was really tough for my mom was my dad's family, his mother and other people in the family. And so she still kept ties with all of them because she had been a part of that family for so long. As much as her and my husband didn't get along and didn't want to be next to each other, she still communicated, especially with her ex-mother-in-law a lot. So, you create ties, and it's hard to break those ties. And that's a blessing from God. So Ruth, clung tightly in verse 14, and in 15 says, hey, look, I'm here with you. Naomi says, your sister's gone back. You can do the same. But in 16, Ruth replies, don't ask me to leave you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. But I think what's really important here is her faith. She has spent some amount of time with this family from Israel and understanding that they have faith in the one and only God. So, and she replies here, and your God will be my God. So she's already committed. So Ruth is going in faith with Naomi. This is the same faith that we talk about. And this is why God blesses her, is that her faith is what keeps her in line with God. You know, she left the old gods behind and decided there is one God, there's a true God, and I'm going to follow my mother-in-law, and I will follow the one and only God. So this is an important step in realizing that, you know, God wasn't just for the Jewish people. God is for everybody. So Ruth is a great example of a woman deciding to take the lead and do what is outside of tradition. We're going to find out that she does do some traditions later, but she steps outside of tradition and follows her mother-in-law and follows the tradition of her God, which is the one and only God. So what amazing faith that Ruth has at knowing that this will lead to the blessings. So that's chapter one. Let's continue on to chapter two. Ruth works in Boaz's field. So we're going to see what happens from here on out. So verse one, now there was a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. One day, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it. Naomi replied, all right, my daughter, go ahead. So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. And as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. While she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you, he said. The Lord bless you, the harvesters replied. Then Boaz asked his foreman, who is the young woman over there? Who does she belong to? And the foreman replied, she's a young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters. She has been hard at work ever since, except for a few minutes rest in the shelter. So Boaz went over and said to Ruth, listen, my daughter, stay right here with us when you gather grain. Don't go to any other fields. Stay right behind the young women working in my field. See which part of the field they are harvesting and then follow them. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly. And when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well. Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. What have I done to deserve such kindness? She asked. I'm only a foreigner. Yes, I know, Boaz replied, but I also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose rings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done. I hope I continue to please you, sir, she replied. You have comforted me by speaking so kindly to me, even though I am not one of your workers. And at mealtime, Boaz called to her, come over here and help yourself to some food. You can dip your bread in the sour wine. She sat there with the harvesters, and Boaz gave her some roasted grain to eat. She ate all she wanted and still had some left over. When Ruth went back to work again, Boaz ordered his young men, let her gather grain right among the sheaves without stopping her, and pull out some heads of barley from the bundles and drop them on purpose for her. Let her pick them up and don't give her a hard time. So Ruth gathered barley there all day, and when she beat out the grain that evening, it filled the entire basket. She carried it back into town and showed it to her mother-in-law. Ruth also gave her the roasted grain that was left over from her meal. Where did you gather all this grain today? Naomi asked. Where did you work? May the Lord bless the one who helped you. And Ruth told her mother-in-law about the man whose field she had worked. She said, the man I work with today is named Boaz. And may the Lord bless him, Naomi told her daughter-in-law. He is showing his kindness to us as well as to your dead husband. That man is one of our closest relatives and one of our family redeemers. Then Ruth said, what's more, Boaz even told me to come back and stay with the harvesters until the entire harvest is completed. Good, Naomi exclaimed. Do as he says, my daughter. Stay with his young women right there, right through the whole harvest. You might be harassed in other fields, but you'll be safe with him. So Ruth worked alongside the women in Boaz's fields and gathered grain with them until the end of the barley harvest. Then she continued working with them through the wheat harvest in early summer, and all the while she lived with her mother-in-law. This is awesome. So we see that, you know, Ruth has gone out in faith with her mother-in-law, to come back to the land of Israel. And then she, by chance, like I really don't believe anything is by chance, you know, when it comes to God. She, by chance, works in Boaz's field. And essentially, she's just going to go behind them and pick up whatever they leave all leave behind. So she goes out there to gather grain behind the harvesters. And this is where she finds out that it's Boaz. Now, she doesn't know who Boaz is at the moment, but, you know, Boaz knows Naomi, who has just come back into town and the people celebrated. So Boaz is aware of what's going on. And that's because he was related to Amalek. So he knows the whole story. He knows what's happening with Naomi and Ruth. So when he shows up at the field, you know, who's this young woman over there? Who does she belong to? And so the foreman replies, she's the young woman who from Moab with Naomi. And she came over to the foreman in the beginning of the day, which I think is great. She just didn't start picking things up behind him. She talked to the foreman. Ruth said, hey, you know, whatever you drop, can I pick up and gather for me and my mother-in-law? It's Naomi. I'm sure that was all explained. And the harvester was okay with that and saw that she had worked hard. So Boaz, we can take so much from here. And so we see that Boaz, we learn that he's a good man and he'll be continuing through the rest of Ruth. We see how he works, continues to work for Ruth and God. But Boaz is such a good businessman and is such a way with people that the people he hire kind of you want to see that. He's an entrepreneur. He's a farmer. He owns these lands. And the people that he's hiring to take care of them, he gives them direction and they listen. And it just goes downstream. The leadership goes downstream. So this harvester, it said, you can pick those up. And notice how hard she worked. And then we hear that Boaz also tells the men, you know, don't treat her a certain way. She was married to a relative of mine. She's a widow. You know, she's working hard. Let her work and let her follow behind. And which is amazing. So Ruth is like, how do you do this? Why? Because I'm such a foreigner. And so Boaz replies, yeah, I know who you are. I also understand that you have come to with your mother-in-law. And he says, may the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully what you have done. So Boaz is also right here in verse 12 saying, hey, you put your trust in the Lord when you came with Naomi, and may the Lord bless you. He's our God. He blesses us and he'll bless you. I think this is also, again, foreigners are coming in and when they have faith in God, God rewards that. And Jew or Gentile, as we say, and you know, in Bible talk, you don't just have to be Jewish to receive blessings from God. This is passed on to everybody who has that faith in God. And so, of course, Ruth replies, you know, I hope to continue to please you. And Boaz even says, hey, you know what? You worked hard today. Come eat with us. Eat all you want. And you take the leftovers back. So Ruth's hard work and faith is paying off for her. You know, she doesn't even, what we're going to see in chapters 3 and 4, what happens, you know, that's not what her goal is. Her goal is actually just to maintain a living. So whatever she does it to her best ability and does it with praise and faith in God. And I think that's something we all can take out of that. And so she goes home and tells Naomi about it. And Naomi realizes, oh, wow, that's the field you ended up in. What great news. He's our relative. He knows about us. And just go out there. You'll be safe with him and keep working hard. And so we're going to see in the next couple of chapters, or you've already listened, what this turns into for Ruth. And because of her hard work, but basically because of her faith, you know, those two things go together and that can actually do a lot for us when it comes to, not only what's going on, in the spiritual, but also in the physical world. You know, God is entrusting us with certain duties, the jobs that we have, you know, jobs are blessings because we can be able to pay for food, shelter, you know, maybe sometimes something extra, but essentially he's saying, you know, whatever you do, whatever job you're given, and sometimes it's going to be the lowest job. Sometimes you have to start at the bottom. Pretty much everybody has to start at the bottom somewhere. But you put in the hard work, you keep your faith in God, you're going to be blessed. And good things will start happening to you. So I think that's a very good lesson we can take out of this, is to put that trust in God and continue to work hard in all the little things. And as we'll see in the Bible, this is kind of a trend. If you work really hard and good at the little things, you know, you start getting bigger things. God starts blessing you. So we're now at the point of the opportunity where we have the opportunity to ask for forgiveness and accept the forgiveness that God gives us in the grace and the righteousness. If you haven't done so yet, this is a great opportunity for you. If you continue to listen with us and you're following along and you've already done this portion of it, that's great. This is a great reminder. But what we like to do is give everybody the opportunity to commit their life to Christ, because it is a life-changing event that is like a slow-burning candle. You know, we're going to start at the top. And as that flame goes down and melts the wax, that's how our life changes. It's not like a fast bullet or anything. It's going to be a process, and that process actually does work. And it's amazing when we get there. And every step you take, you're able to look back and you can see where your life has changed, and you're going to hit storms, but we're going to be pulled through them. So let's go before the Lord. It's not the words. It's not baptism. It's not what you do after this. It's your faith. It's your faith that considers you quote unquote saved. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that I need a sacrifice for my sins. I am thankful that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And I accept that forgiveness, Lord. And I pray that you change me. And Lord, I pray that you strengthen me and continue to give me grace. And I commit my life to you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So if you prayed that, if you wholeheartedly felt that with your soul, your spirit, your heart, your mind, welcome to the family of Christ. A few things you got to do. Recommend, highly recommend. Keep reading your Bible. Keep reading with us. A chapter a day. That's all it takes. We just want to get into the Word and start listening for God. And as we read, we're going to see where He's speaking to us, because He has continuous messages that flow throughout the Bible. Find a church. Find a church. Find a pastor or minister and talk to them and say, hey, I'm new at this. How can you help? Give me some guidance. And they're 100% going to tell you, read your Bible and get involved in the church. Come to church on Sunday, Sunday night, on Saturday, on Wednesday, whatever it may be, and then get involved in ministry. It's great time. Every time is good time for ministry. But I know we're coming up. Our season is coming up where this is a big time that people donate food and sweaters and things. And it's a great time to get out into the community and help those in need. It's always great, but it seems like there's a little bit more to do because everybody's feeling better about the season. We're towards the end of the year here. We're in November and December. So I know that a lot of times this creates a season of giving for people. So let's help those in need and be able to get that stuff out. So let's always get involved in ministries, whatever it may be. Maybe missions. It may eventually be evangelism. It could be, leading Sunday school or leading a Bible group. Again, it's the little things. You work hard at it and God gives you more and more. So what a blessing. We want to celebrate these times with you. So please, when you see these posts, leave a message on Facebook or Instagram. You can message us. You can leave a comment. Or you can email us directly, Lorraine at leapoffaithpodcast.org, and jeremiah@leapoffaithpodcast.org. Let us know how it's going, what you need prayer for. We pray for you, and let us know your celebrations, because we want to be there for that too. So thank you so much for listening. We got two chapters done in one today, and then next week we'll pick back up. Lorraine will be back soon enough, but we're going to hit Samuel, 1 Samuel next week, and start getting into the story of David and Saul and some great, amazing things that we're going to start seeing that God does. So bless you, and I'll see you next time.